When I was asked to do the lesson, they told me it'd be a short lesson, so I'll try to keep it within that. But I didn't realize it was going to be the day course was going to be here, and we got more people in here than normal. So, and I've seen a lot of familiar faces, but hopefully a lot of people that I still love and cherish. So if I mess up, please forgive me. And if you want to make fun of me because I messed up, they are recording it. I think the last time I was in front of a large crowd, it was larger than this, was CYC a couple of years ago. There was roughly about Challenge Youth Conference, if anybody doesn't know. Youth rally down in Pigeon Forge. There was roughly about 13,000 there at that time. And one of our young people, well, he's not so young anymore, but Eric Halstead, decided to play, I don't know if you want to call it a joke or whatever, they asked everybody to tweet their youth minister's name and see if they can get them on stage. So I was up on stage. And not to talk, I was up on stage to be with a bunch of other people, a bunch of people my age, to do air guitar in front of 13,000 people. So he might even still have the video, so just so you know. All right, so we'll do our best here. One thing I want to start with is the title of my lesson tonight is called Our Youth. Since I work with the youth, I figure I'd do something familiar. I wanted to more focus on our young people because we have so many young people here, and it's such a pleasure to work with them and to meet lots of them. And sometimes I meet some that I haven't seen in a while, but it's awesome to see. So, but then I started looking at my lesson, and I want to change it to something still talking about our youth. But first off, I want to start with our parents and our grandparents and all the adults in this room, including myself. Start off with some questions. Look around and ask yourself, how well do we know our youth? Not just the ones here at Royal Oak, but at our home congregations, in the chorus, and just ones you just see on a weekly basis. How well do we know them? You know, where are they at in their life? What's their future plans? We have a lot of graduates probably this time of year. We have, I believe, 3 here at Royal Oak this year. What's their future plans? Where are they going? Where are they involved? And then the question is, does their future involve Christ when they move on? After they go to their colleges or military or wherever they plan to go, can they continue to keep all that we have explained to them and tried to teach them? Can they take that with them and use it in their everyday life? Sometimes I ask myself, do you ever just sit back and watch them? Now, some of you, I've only been here for a few years, but some of you can remember some of the teens here at Royal Oak, or you can just look at some of the teens that are in chorus and just remember when they're yay high. And there's those little toddlers running around, and just you watch them, and you watch them grow. And as you look at them nowadays, it's like, wow, time has flown by. And you just look at them and just wonder, you see the new looks, you see as they grow, you see their likes and dislikes, you see, you know, their new friendships, and then sometimes you're even lucky enough to watch them as they grow in Christ with their walk. But sad thing is reality, if you ever talk to some of the other congregations, maybe not your congregation, the decline or the dropout rate is such a big concern for our young people. After they hit high school, maybe even get into college, the dropout rate is significant. Now, if it's not in your congregation, praise the Lord, you know, that's awesome. But it's still prevalent in this world today. The world is doing its best to take them away. It's a tragic thing to think of these young people that are now teens or getting ready to be young adults and getting ready to graduate, go off to college, and just remembering back when they were that little toddler. That one running out of Bible class or youth worship, just running up to you, just the exciting look on their face, just with that, I can't wait to tell you what we talked about in class today. It's just an awesome feeling. At this time, I have my 2 daughters, and we're fostering 2 other ones. Most of you here know who Noah is, a little 4-year-old boy. He is that way. He's excited when he comes out of Bible class. He's excited when he comes out of youth worship. Just can't wait to tell you what he talked about. And here's a little boy who's growing in Christ at 4 years old. So we look at the reality of it, you know, they can only stay young for so long. And we do our best to teach them, to help them grow, and to share God's word with them. That's all we can do. Choices come along. But now as the years go on, for some of our younger ones, some of them grow cold, uninterested in the Lord's work. At one time they're so excited, but now they're just getting over it, or they're just tired of it, or the world is putting up more options for them. Before long, we're asking ourselves, what happened? As after we ask ourselves what happened, we go right to the point of, what do we do? What can we do? So we start thinking, more programs, more fun stuff, more entertaining things to keep them in the church. And as some of you know, it doesn't always work that way. You could put your rock bands on stage, you could put laser shows up, you could put all sorts of stuff up, and eventually it's going to get old, just like everything else. If you have any teenagers that get a video game, you know, they like it and they're excited and they got to have it. Or even some of our younger ones, they got to have that toy for Christmas. It's a must-have thing, and they're going to beg you and they'll tell you, I'll just want that and nothing else. A month later, it's on the floor. You're like, I just spent all that money on that thing that you had to have. So it's something we look at. So we think of the different things we can do. Don't get me wrong. I love doing fun things. You know, the game nights, laser tag, Cedar Point. They're all great things. You know, they're all a plus, but they're not a must. You've got to keep God in the mix here. But church, let me tell you, their faithfulness to God doesn't have anything to do with special programs, entertainment, and it's not dependent on whether they're members of a large youth group or a small youth group. I came from a congregation, the Van Dyke congregation, a few years back, and I was there for about 6 years. I had 5 young men in my class. Once in a while, we get some other people, but these 5 young men were very dedicated and just great kids. They didn't know each other at first, but after a while, we did almost everything together. Almost every youth event, they all went. They bonded together, and it was only 5 of them. Now I talk to some friends of mine, and I ask them how many people he has in his youth group. So I go, oh, we only have 30. Wow. Okay, only. But it doesn't matter the size. How close are they to God? How close are they to each other? Can they encourage each other? Can they be there for each other? Teaching my class on Wednesday, I teach the teen class on Wednesdays, and I alternate on Sundays. And we're talking about choices or decisions and how it compares to God's will. No matter where you are or where you come from, choices and decisions have to be made. But God's will for us will always stay the same. And that's what I try to stress in the class. So we need to choose wisely what we're going to do. We read in the book of John, it says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. There's no other option there. He says, I am. There's no why I'm one of the ways, or I could be a way. It is the way. So that's the one thing we need to stress. So again, we ask, what do we do? How do we help our young people today? And I'm not coming up here giving you the ultimate answer to tell you everything. I'm giving you my thoughts on it from working with the youth and from working with the youth for a while now and just my thoughts, my feelings on it. And I try to keep it godly. And again, I don't have the ultimate answer, but hopefully it's something that we might be able to use. How do we help our young people? Well, in today's time, some folks look at it like we need to get out of old church and back in the new, entertaining, make-me-feel-good church. And some people may disagree with me, but that's just how this world's going. You know, we have too many people who want entertainment, and it's not here for entertainment. You're here for God. You know, that song always gets me. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me. It's just, what else do you want, really? I mean, what else do we want? You know, we don't need anything else but that. Christ died for us. So when we look at that, and, you know, since I am the speaker, I get to say my thoughts. Where do you go? Where do you go? Where do you go? Where have you always gone for your answers when it comes to your struggles in life or your needing answers? And if we were to ask ourselves that and honestly say what we really feel, we go to the Bible. We go to God's Word. It's not about going somewhere else. It's that's what guides us. So we need to take that and help guide our young people. It's not the video games. It's not the new cell phones. It's not anything else. It's God. And, you know, however you want to put it, there's no other option out there that's going to direct them to heaven. So, and I can't apologize for the things I say. Sometimes I ramble too much, and sometimes I might go over my 10-minute limit or so on and so forth. But when it comes down to the Word of God, and when it comes down to what should we do, and you want to give an answer, we need to bring it back old school. We need to pick up our Bibles. Some of us don't even bring our Bibles to Bible class, and I'm not talking about the adults, I'm talking about the young people. And maybe adults do too, so if you're guilty, you better start doing it. We need to bring our Bibles out, dust off the old thing, open the pages. Open the pages of the Word of God, or in today's time and technology, I know, we pull out our smartphone. Pull out our smartphone. We don't ask Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram what the answer is. How do we help our young people? That's not what it is. We pull out the Bible app. And if you don't have it on there yet by now, you need to get with the times, people. Pull out the Bible app. Let's read it, download it, or listen to what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has to say. Go to the Scriptures for strength. Go to the Scriptures for guidance. Go to the Scriptures for that direction. Go to the Scriptures for instruction, and even that reassurance that God is by our side, even in the fun things, everything's going all right, and even in the hard times when I can't seem to get the right answer. We need to be the example. As the older generation, we've been in a lot of these young people's shoes. Now, most of us didn't have cell phones at their age that they do now, but we can still, like I said, they can use their phones for good, and they can use their cell phones with the Bible. They can use it to text other people the Word, and every phone is like a mini computer, so they can get on the Bible app, they can get on scriptural websites, they can do so much stuff good for God. But we need to be that example. We need to share Christ with them. Let them know that Proverbs says, when I can't figure it out, God will direct us. Chapter 3, verse 5 through 6. 1 Corinthians 1:30, when I don't feel smart enough, God will give us wisdom. Let them know that 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, think I'm not able, God is able. And of course, John 3:16, when I don't feel love, God loves us. And that's all that matters. And finally, Romans 8:28, wondering if it's worth it. God says, it will be. We need to plant the seed. Now, we might not be able to convert somebody tonight. We might not be able to convert them as we go home to our home congregations. But we need to plant the seed. We need to let people know that God loves them. We love them. We want to see every one of them get their life right with Christ and stay on the right path as they move on in their life. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up the child in the way he should go, even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Deuteronomy 6:5 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And then moving on to Philippians chapter 4, it says, and my God will supply every need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. God will always provide, no matter what, no matter how hard it is, no matter how much struggles you go through. I'm not there yet with teenagers, but I pray and I truly believe that when my daughters are old enough, God will be with me to guide them as they get older. And I have a lot of wonderful examples around me that are just amazing to my daughters and the wonderful examples they can look up to. So today's example, as I mentioned, Challenge Youth Conference. A few years ago, I took a group down. And if any of you guys have ever been to Challenge Youth Conference, they used to have it in Gatlinburg. Now it's in Pigeon Forge. So this trip itself was roughly about 12 hours. And if you've ever taken a youth group out of state, you know you're going to go a lot more hours than you planned on it. So yes, it was roughly about 12 hours until we got to the cabin. But a lot of it was due to traffic conditions, weather, some parts of crabbiness, a lot of parts of are we there yet? And when you look at it, how important it was. It was also a weekend of great speakers, bringing us lessons from God's Word and amazing singing. And at the time, they had two sessions, about 6,000 people each. And probably about 90% of that was young people. So me being the funny person I am, I always try to take my group out. And after when you're in between breaks, I make them go out and actually talk to people. Because the first night we're there, I was like, did you meet anybody? No. Did you try to meet anybody? No. So I drug them all around and I started talking to random people. So I was like, there, now you know someone from Arkansas or Alabama. So, because it's good to let these kids know that they're not alone. There's so many other people out there, so many young people out there that love to praise God. Back at the cabin, we were blessed to continue to praise with a large youth group that was singing in another building on the way along the way there, and just a large group, and they were all out there outside singing praises to God at the cabin. So we were able to sit out on our balcony and sing praises with them. The trip was not all about me and my wants, even though I got a lot out of it. It was about bringing the youth closer to God, letting them know they are not alone. Now, mind you, I was told by an older gentleman earlier in the weeks prior to my trip that my daughters were too young to attend and they would not understand. Now, at the time, yes, my oldest daughter was 7. That night after the lesson, the Friday night after the lesson, we came back and I'm tucking her in, kissing her goodnight. We're saying our prayers. And she told me she would do her best to trust in God more and more every day. And this is a 7-year-old. She was talking to me about the lesson, just telling me how more and more she wants to grow closer to God. And as several of you know, a few years later, she gave her life to Christ in baptism. Also, when it comes to just the excitement from going to something like that, we took an exchange student down there with us as well. She was from Italy. We had her for a year, and some of the chorus members may know her. Her name was Greta Bianchetti. She was from Italy. And if most of you know, in Italy, it's mostly Catholic religion. That's how she was raised, but she really didn't follow it very much anymore as a teen. So we took her down there. We went to the youth rally. She was able to hear the lessons, and then we came back, and one of our members who came with us, he drove, and she started asking questions as soon as she got in the car about God. So the guy who was driving caught on real quick, so he decided to take the back roads and really long roads, and it took us a long time to get home, but she was able to ask lots of questions. Now, I don't know if she was ever baptized, but the seed was planted. She learned about God, and we were able to help her with that. So yes, long trip, but there's no doubt in my mind it was well worth it. And I promise I'm almost done. As we leave here tonight, just like that trip, opportunities to plant seeds are here. It's here and now. As a parent, as a youth leader, or just a fellow brother in Christ, I'm asking you for your help to guide these young people. Don't let the world take them away. They are not only the future, but they are also the present, the here and now of the Lord's church. Now, we may look at them and not see them as a speaker, but maybe they're a song leader. Maybe there's somebody who's going to get up like our young men tonight, get up here and do the Lord's Supper. Or get up here and you read a prayer. What a blessing it is to see your child up here doing something like that, doing some work for God. Now I just want to say to our young people, thank you for being here, for one. It is an honor to be able to come here and hear the chorus sing, especially when you're praising God. You are an amazing asset to this chorus, to you know, the church, to all the churches that participate, and all the people here who get to hear you, get to hear your young hearts praising God. Even if this is your senior year and you're getting ready to graduate out of chorus, you can still continue that. So as we leave tonight for the young people, I want to just give you two scriptures. Ecclesiastes 12:1. Remember now the Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult times come and the years draw near, when you say, I have no pleasure in them. Continue to remember everything every Bible teacher has taught you, every elder or teacher or minister or anyone else who has ever taught you, because their thought for you is they want to continue to see you grow in Christ. And then finally, as the scripture was read earlier, 1 Timothy 4:12, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Show the people in this congregation, show your parents, your grandparents, all the other adults who are watching you, like I said in the beginning, who are just watching you, not to be weird, but show them. Young ladies and gentlemen, show them it's time. Show them you know it's time to rise up. Show this generation of today, that the Lord's church is in good hands, and His holy word will continue to shine in many years to come. With that being said, we offer the invitation at this time for those who have never put on Christ in baptism. We have an opportunity now to do that, to start your walk with Christ. Maybe today is your walk with Christ, your starting point. Maybe you're ready. But then also, how about young people and elderly people? Let's look at where we are in our life. if we're ready to be with Christ, maybe we've fallen away, maybe we tripped up, and we need to come back. So at this time, we offer the invitation for those, and if we can help you in any way, please let us know as we stand and sing.